right, here we go. For immunity and reward. Driver's ready. Go!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Survivors Ready, a podcast where we talk about, guess what? Survivor and being ready? I don't know. Anyway, I'm one of your hosts. My name is Adam, and I am joined by someone that I'm going to unmute right now.
Hi.
I've been yelling, hi.
I
didn't unmute you until just this moment. So
did you hear me going, hi, hi, hi?
I heard one hi, which is plenty. Okay. Which is more than enough.
It's right.
Really all I need.
And Adam.
Yes, Fatty.
You know, after last week, and we have to thank Chris from Tennessee, from New Jersey, from Tennessee, from joining us last week. This week we are we have a brand new co-host who comes highly recommended by Alex Lefebvre. So anyway, it's Evan. Evan, say hi.
Hi. What a tall order to fill from Alex Lefebvre. But yes,
right. All right. So Evan, I've been told now Evan does the Drag Race recap with Joe Batance and Taylor. Is that right?
I do. Yes. I've been very lucky to have been brought on board for that.
And I have been told by people that as much as you love the Drag Race recap, you love Survivor even more.
Yes. If there is one thing that I care about more than anything, it's Survivor. It's almost, I would consider myself a Survivor savant to the point where it's almost debilitating.
Well, that was a term that was used to describe you, and I wasn't sure if I should use that term or not.
Oh, it's self-diagnosed completely, but I mean, I'm fully aware. I am the biggest. I literally watched the first episode of the first season. I remember sitting down watching Richard Hatch and Sue Hawk talk about corporate role in the bush and just being like hooked immediately. I've never missed an episode of a season.
Were you in the womb during that first season?
No,
Evan is young and good looking.
Oh, thank you.
And so he couldn't have been more than what, 5 or 6?
I think I was 8 or 9.
Okay.
But Survivor, the first season aired in 2000, and I was born in 91. So yeah, about then.
Oh, God.
But sorry, just facts are facts. But no, I'm such a crazy fan that I would make my parents buy in bulk VHS, like blank VHSs, and I would sit and I would record the episodes, and I would pause at the commercial, and so I would have the episodes before DVDs, before anything, and then I would rewind it and have it ready to watch when I would get back from school on that Thursday or Friday. I own buffs from, I have about, I think I own 60 buffs. Like, I'm crazy about the show. So I'm like personally just like so stoked to have somewhere to vent my feelings about
it. You own buffs?
Oh, I buy buffs every season.
Do they have a, see, I watch Survivor, but I'm not a Survivor savant as you called it. So, so I didn't even know, do they have a shop or something?
Yeah, you can buy them on CBS.com or there's a website called Planet Buff. Cause a buff is like a brand. It's a cycling, like, you know, garment, that they make them for Survivor as well. But I buy them every season. It's like a stocking stuffer, or like my boyfriend, I'll just like throw it in, like, you know, for a birthday. It's just an easy, it's like, you know, you buy your dad a tie. For me, it's you buy Evan a buff.
Okay. So tell us, other than being a Survivor savant, tell us a little bit more about Evan.
Yeah. I live in DC. I was born in Maine. My dad's in the military, so I moved a lot. My family's located outside of Philadelphia. I've been in DC for 2 years now. I was working in residential real estate, and now I work in a technology like education company. I am a card carrying homosexual. And I just love reality.
Gas.
I know the shock of the season here. And I love reality TV. I've dreamed about being on the show since I was a kid, and it's just such a big part of my life. But yeah.
And have you applied?
I've applied so many times. I've gotten kind of close in my mind. I've gotten like callbacks. I've gone to casting calls. In my head, it's going to happen one day, but it's happened enough times where I have to assume it's never going to happen, but in my mind it will one day.
Well, when you assume it's not going to happen, that's usually when it happens.
That's right? When it gets you. Well, yeah, that's what I'm telling myself.
Well, just the bar now, now you can just tell them, hey, I've been on Survivor's Ready podcast. You have to let me on now, right?
I'm ready. Let's go. Yeah, I'm.
Yeah. Now, how did you hear about our podcast?
I heard about your podcast, Kevin, from my dear friend Joe Patance that I do RuPaul's Drag Race recap with. And I'll be honest with you, I talk about Survivor so much that I've never really listened to a Survivor podcast, just because I'll listen to like Corinne. She does that like cast assessment, but I've literally told myself like it's just not healthy to spend any more time talking about this show.
Right.
But Joe Patance recommended it, and so I listened to a few episodes, and you know, I realized that if I can talk about drag queens, I should be able to talk about, because it's I don't know how you guys feel about Survivor, but like, it's a show, whenever you bring it up, like, oh, that show's still on. I'm like, yes, it's still on. It's better than ever. And people should be talking about it.
Right. So, did you have a favorite season?
Yes. My favorite season, hands down, is Heroes Villains 20. It's tied with China, probably 15. But then after that, Survivor is kind of like sex or lasagna. Like, no matter what, it's still good. But
right.
It's much better. Am I wrong though?
Like, you just compared sex and lasagna to Survivor. Hey,
so okay. more
even bad lasagna is good.
It's okay. Still lasagna, and you're still lucky to have it. So you can only complain too much. But,
well, more importantly than your favorite season or sex and lasagna, do you notice and like the bulges on Survivor? Because Fatty is all about some sex. He just mentioned earlier that he had a gentleman caller before we started recording. However, he never notices.
I have popper throat tonight.
Yeah,
so.
And he never notices the bulges. But I mean, are you a bulge watcher when you watch Survivor?
I'm more of a butt watcher, but I'm never mad. See, the thing is that I know that the producers pick, like, they pick their wardrobes. Like, they obviously they don't always have control over like what they wear. But I always I appreciate when they give us someone like last season, like Cole, who like they give up like the tidy whities or whatever. Like I appreciate that. But no, yeah, I mean I enjoy it, but I'm never like, oh god, I try to remove myself like from objectifying them too much, even though it's obvious that it happens.
They're just lasagna as far as you're sure.
It's just lasagna. They're just big old noodles and sauce. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, they're really, and there aren't like, I don't know if they're like, there's only one, I mean, personally for me, there's only one contestant that like does it for me this season too, which I appreciate because I'm not blinded by like how hot they are.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember all their names yet, but he's on Goliath.
He's on Goliath.
Yeah, his name is Alec. He looks like the Crimson.
He's the bartender.
Chin. Yeah. Yeah. A bartender that's the Goliath. Like, good job, CBS. I'm going to pin that. But I appreciate, there's no like, Cole bothered me last season because he was so, no, two seasons ago, it was Heroes Villains or Heroes Hustlers, whatever. I was like, you're so pretty. And like, I can't hate you, but I do. Mm-hmm. So.
Just for my edification, did you like Millennials versus Gen X? Is that what it was?
Yes. Actually, yes. I would say Millennials Gen X is probably my favorite modern Survivor season. Absolutely. Okay. I thought it, yeah, I did.
I thought it was a great season.
I thought it was exceptional. I think for me, what makes a good Survivor season is a theme that is like, that brings you a dynamic cast, but it's not shoved in your face too much. And I love when the contestants are there and like they appreciate and they respect the game. And like they're all players who, like, even if they got screwed, like Jay got like done so dirty, but he was still like so excited. Like, he was like, oh, you got me, but like it's all good. It's a game. Like, it wasn't taken too personally. It wasn't dirty. I love that season. I thought the Adam story was great. I look forward to like them bringing some of those contestants back.
Y'all, he is reciting this shit, and I'm going, I don't remember any of those people. So anyway,
yeah,
no, you're the savant though. You're the savant. It's okay.
Yeah.
So when we don't remember things, we'll toss it to Evan. So
bring it on. Anyway. Well, Patience will tell you I'm full of useless knowledge of this stuff. So
what always irritates me about Survivor, and this is just, you may or may not learn this about me, I always go for underdogs in any reality show. Well, first of all, that's bad for me because I always am supporting people who are ultimately going to lose, generally. Mm-hmm. But I hate, in Survivor, it always seems like the dickiest, or a lot of times, like the dickiest, jerkiest part, like Tony, who won his season. He was such a jerk, like all and like so like, and then he wins, and I'm like, oh, you know, it drives me crazy. And then there are other ones I could name, but
would it have? But it would have bothered me more if Wu won that season, because Wu didn't do a damn thing. I was for me, it's like, yeah, you're a dick, but like you can be a dick and Survivor and still be a good person. Or like if you play the game, I'm cool with you winning.
But, I don't know. I would be an emotional voter, I think.
Oh, Hundo.
I'd be like, you were a dick. I'm not voting. I don't care that Wu didn't do anything. I'm not voting for you. Like,
yeah,
I'm a Big Brother voter.
Yeah,
that's what I am.
And so you guys, so you guys also do a Big Brother podcast, correct?
Well, we did while it was
okay.
Yeah. So we, so Fatty and I decided. So this is brand new. This is a brand new show.
Ooh.
Last episode was our very first episode.
Oh wow!
And then. The Big Brother recap that we do was a brand new show. So this year, Fatty and I just decided we both watch reality shows. So we were going to do at least Big Brother and Survivor. We might do Amazing Race. It's up in the air.
Well, you know, Survivor people are on the Amazing Race this season.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that rumor? It's Survivor, Big Brother.
It's Survivor and Big Brother, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all three of the CBS shows. They're all returning. So it's like, they're teams of people who have been on Survivor versus like teams of Big Brother people versus returning Amazing Race players, which I don't think is very fair.
Okay. But no, I wouldn't like the returning Amazing Race, but anyway. Yeah. Okay. Well, hey. We've already had our first show. Do you have, and I saw that you, responded, you know, we have to mention Alex Lefebvre's name on every show. He's decided not to watch Survivor because he just doesn't the David versus Goliath. And I saw that you responded to him like it's just a theme. It doesn't really carry through or something along those lines. And I think that that's going to be the case this time also.
Yeah.
It's just something to reel you in at the beginning.
Right. Well, and the thing I think I always talk about Survivor, we're on the 38th season, 39th season. In the beginning, Survivor was all about the location because it was like this brand new concept and that's what drug people in. And now it's their way of keeping themselves relevant and kind of attracting new viewers where, you know, they've been in the same island of Fiji for the last like four or five seasons. And I doubt they'll ever leave Fiji. Like they have to do something to keep it fresh. But I can see why someone like Alex Lefebvre being off put by it, because they really do just pound it into the narrative. And the problem, part of that is Jeff Probst's fault, because like Jeff Probst is now also a producer and the showrunner. Right. And so he is looking at it now as the lens of a storyteller. And so even when some poor man is like, you know, dying or, you know, just like the guy that was eliminated the first episode because of an injury. Like, he's like in his face, like, well, this is such a David thing. It's like, bitch, get out of his face. Like, this poor man is having his dream crush. Like, this isn't your chance. This isn't the time to hawk a narrative, but they have to do it. And they have to, you know, you have to ride it out. And once you get into the season and once the people kind of, the characters become fully realized in their own way, that's when I think it becomes good TV. In the beginning, it doesn't really matter.
I think that Survivor does such a fantastic job of never letting you see production until something like that happens.
Yes.
It's just like, I don't remember which season, and we'll defer to you, where it was like, okay, everybody come in here right now.
Oh, it was Qumran when Caleb was evacuated.
That's exactly what it was. Yep. And all of a sudden there were like 50 people that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I just kind of went, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, did that kind of take you back also?
No, because I'm a freak and I like know that that's what goes into creating the show. But what I've always said about Survivor that I love is that Survivor is created for the contestants first and foremost. Like it's an experience for them. Whereas like, you know, you think about how intricate like the sets are, for example, or the challenges, like Tribal Council is immaculately created and there's never an angle of a tribal set that is like, oh, it's just a wooden board. Or, you know, like RuPaul's Drag Race, like the workroom is... They're not brick walls. They're just, it's, you know, it's a piece of fabric that looks like a brick. They create it to create it. The full experience is what matters to them. And in doing so, when they do kind of let that fourth wall down, it makes it feel more real. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate when we do see it and I think the integrity of it is so important to them, the production at least. And so I appreciate moments like that. And it was interesting this season when someone was literally hurt, not during filming. And again, as a fan, I know that like they don't really walk in a straight line to tribal council. They're not carrying their rewards. They're obviously boated around, but a casual viewer wouldn't know that. And so I liked watching how they kind of explained and handled that. So that was interesting. And like, that's just stuff that you can't predict, but it, 37, 38 seasons, there's still something that's never been done before. And so it makes it good TV.
I agree. All right. Well, let's since we talked about episodes 1 and 2 on last week's episode, anything you would like to mention as highlights for the first two episodes that come to mind?
Yeah. I mean, as was mentioned a moment ago, I love having like an underdog. So I'm really enjoying some of these characters this season. I love Elizabeth, the cowgirl with the teeth, and she's always like swimming around in her panties. I think she's hilarious. And I'm really enjoying watching this Natalie Cole. I think she's a fascinating character.
Describe them, because Adam and I don't know their names.
Okay, Natalie is the woman. She is on the Goliath tribe. She's like the one.
Oh,
that, like,
okay.
She's right. Like, oh, I'm a businesswoman, but I don't. Like, she'll be. She's the one that's like barking orders at people. She has that amazing moment this episode with the voting confessional. I think the casting is great this season. And I didn't love Ghost Island as a whole. And so I have a really good feeling, and I get the impression that these are a bunch of people that are there to play the game. And I think there's a lot of really intelligent people who are going to do big moves. And to me, that makes me love the season. So my overall thoughts on this season so far are very, very good.
So now, do you think that Elizabeth is, see, we ask
no,
the,
winning.
No, do you think she's a lesbian is what I was going to say.
You know, I don't think she is. I don't like to assume, but you know, we do have three gay people on this cast.
Well, so because
wait. Don't reveal that yet, because
anyway. And the reason I ask that is because to me it seemed like, and I don't remember whether it was episode 1 or episode 2, but it seemed like she was really fawning over what's her name? The one that we know. Why can't I remember her name all of a sudden? I had it was Lear. On the
oh Alyssa,
yeah,
the Puerto Rican girl. Yeah, they did have a little click, yeah.
And I was like, that's interesting. I wonder if like she's crushing on her or like, you know, it's something else. So I don't know. That's the only reason I asked that question.
Yeah. I mean, she could be. Or I also think maybe in that situation, when you're out there, in my mind, like if you're out there, you just need something to connect with somebody. If it's not a common enemy, it's like, hey, we're both weirdos. Or like, you're a lesbian and I throw barrels of hay since I for a living. Like we got to look out for each other. So I don't know. I don't know if she has the emotional intelligence to like play that, but maybe she is into it. I don't know. I'd love a lesbian to win Survivor. I've been waiting for that for years.
Okay.
A lesbian is one big brother.
Right.
Finally.
So, just out of the gate, first three episodes, do you have someone that you think is going to go all the way, or is it still too early?
I think based on what we're seeing so far, I am expecting one of the women from the Goliath tribe to win. I think Natalia is my current winner pick. She's on the Goliath tribe. She's Hispanic or something of some sort. And she had a little bit of time this episode, but I think she's playing a smart game, or she's not being too much up front, but she's still like is pushing an agenda without being the boss. I think people like that do well. If it's not her, I would not be surprised if like Allison or my boyfriend, and we call them the Bettys. Like there's like those, like the cluster of white women who kind of all look the same on the Goliath tribe.
Right.
I would not be shocked if one of them won. But
so you think it'll be a Goliath?
I do, which is annoying because I think like the whole story of David versus Goliath, like you wanted David to win, but I would not be surprised. But you never know. That's what's great about Survivor. It's an equal opportunity ass kicker.
They do a good job of keeping spoilers out of, or do they?
They do. It's interesting because I've always thought like with Survivor, they've had so many seasons for like, there's this thing called Edgic. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. It's like a Reddit thing where people literally will watch the episodes and they'll like break down like how much screen time person X had versus person Y. It's like, oh, this person's getting a winner edit, or this person's getting like a purple Kelly. Like they're not going to matter. And they've gotten really good at doing things to throw you out of, like, throw you off. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. It's really hard to tell. I've like Survivor, the biggest contestant is the editing, which is why it's always, you know, it's fun to see them, how they try to convince you one thing's going to happen and it doesn't. But it is too soon to tell. But that's my initial gut reaction, I think.
I don't think I have a gut reaction yet. But I will say, Mark, my boyfriend, for any reality show, but he has a knack of watching an episode and being able to predict who's going to be voted out at the end based on the editing of the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he'll say, oh, they're focusing on this person so much. We're getting story. We're getting like all this stuff on this person. He's like, mm-hmm. oh, and look, we're getting focused on this other person. Maybe they're the two that are going to, you know, we're going to be choosing between, you know, or whatever, mm-hmm. and all this kind of stuff. And
look how much time Jeremy got this episode. Like,
uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it is true. And so they do. And they've got to be aware that, you know, they're doing that when they're editing, you know, that they're kind of telling people what's going to happen, you know,
yeah.
at the end.
Well, yeah. And I also think like the audience of Survivor, Survivor obviously does very well, but the general demographic of a Survivor view is probably not like the smartest person sometimes. Like, I feel like they have a huge audience that they're presenting to. And so they kind of have to like dumb it down a little bit. It has to be, they have to make it very clear that you're seeing this because this is going to matter at some point. If it's not this episode, it's going to matter later on. And if they don't, because otherwise people aren't going to connect to him. They're not going to get, it's not going to matter if you're not invested. Like, that's why I think that B, the girl with who like hurt her knee, there's no way she makes it to the merge because they wouldn't show her whining about her knee unless she was going to be taken out later.
Mm.
So it's like things like, that's things like that. Like, you have, they have to make you care about them in some way. So
now, do you predict who's going to be voted out as the episode goes along, or do you have a pretty good idea? And how often are you right?
I'm right maybe half of the time. I can usually predict who it's going to be between. And it's got now the interesting what they do. I like how the way they stack the votes. Like when Jeff reads them, obviously like they vote. And then Jeff goes and he likes, you know, he presents them in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And as soon, like when they voted Jessica out last week, it was like all these votes for Lyrsa. And you're like, okay, obviously like it's going to be her. And the second they showed that second one for her, like, oh, they waited for you till the end. Like you try to play the games of the editor. And so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And again, that's like what makes it fun, because you just really never know. As long as I, as a viewer, can understand why they went, I don't mind being surprised or being wrong.
I feel like, but this could be because I don't really do a lot of research into what goes on in the background and like behind
the scenes
and
life?
Stuff. But yeah, exactly. Oh, but I don't, I will say, I always feel like the questioning part that Jeff does. Now, maybe because I said this about Big Brother, it's probably all about editing, and he may ask 100 questions. Mm-hmm. But his questions always seem to be kind of leading or like picking at whatever you've seen earlier in the episode. So like, you know, you see them like bad mouthing Natalie or talking, you know, Jeremy, and he seems to always ask the questions or talk to the people that are going to spur those heated conversations in tribal. And I don't know whether he's trying to lead a little bit or if he's asked 100 questions and they just pick, you know, the ones that are, you know, pertinent to what's going to happen, or if, but he always seems to know exactly what to ask.
Yeah.
At least based on what we see.
Exactly. Yeah. The tribals last like 4 hours apparently. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. They're very long. And Jeff knows everything that's going on in with that tribe when they come to tribal. And so he said in interviews, he's like, a successful Survivor player knows to use me to their advantage. And so like, he's like, if you know as a contestant that Jeff Probst has a reason for everything he's asking, you can play that up, because he's not asking Natalie a question just because he's curious. He's asking because he's trying to either provoke her or do something with whoever else she's feuding with. And so if you can think of Jeff as another contestant or a player, you can easily spin something based on what he's asking, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, he definitely knows what's going on. And as a result, they pick the relevant questions and answers.
Now, I already know the answer to this question, but do you go online and look at the stuff from the Ponderosa?
I love the Ponderosa. Oh my God, it's so fun.
Yes. All right. Now, so a lot of people may not know what the Ponderosa is. Why don't you explain that to everybody?
Yeah. So when you're a Survivor contestant, unlike a lot of reality shows, when you go on Survivor, you are committing to the full 39 days regardless. And so when you get voted out before the jury, they put everyone in a little camp. And then everyone that's been voted off before the jury, they go on a jury trip. It's like to Australia or somewhere. And, you know, they can't, you can't just go home. It's like, well, I'm going to play Survivor. And you come home 6 days later and you're like, oh, I guess you didn't do well. So to avoid spoilers, they send those people away. And then once you're on the jury, Ponderosa is where you live. And it's essentially just like summer camp. But they've started filming like a little mini series. It's like the Untucked of Drag Race, or it's an after show. And every time someone's voted off, they get a little Ponderosa video. And it just kind of shows them exiting the show, you know, arriving and meeting the other contestants that are on the jury. And just, you know, they give them some chance to talk about how the show has affected them. And I always like it because it's just them and they're not playing the game. And so you see a little more humanity in them and characters that maybe you didn't like as much as Survivor players, like Michaela Bradshaw, for example, who was on Millennials, Gen X, and then Game Changers. She's one of my favorite players of all time, but she was annoying as hell on Game Changers. And then you see her get kicked off and you're like, okay, that guard is down. You're just a person again. You've had a two Corona Lights and some spaghetti and like all of a sudden you're like relatable. So I enjoy that very much. So okay. I wish they did it for the pre-jury people too.
Oh, okay. So the pre-jury don't go to the Ponderosa.
No, I think they live there, but then once they're all collected, they go on a trip.
Okay.
They send them away.
See, I did not know that.
Yeah. So,
well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So the Ponderosa is kind of like the jury house for Big Brother.
It's the jury house, yeah. I don't know where the term Ponderosa came from. I don't know what the meaning behind it is, but yeah, that's what it is.
Well, that's from Bonanza. So
that's before Evan's time.
Right.
Remember
Evan was born in 1990, y'all. Okay.
91.
Excuse me, 91. How dare you add an extra year? So
how about we talk about this week's episode?
I think that's a fantastic idea.
Well, I took some notes.
Also, I'm so sorry if I'm talking a whole lot. I just have never had a chance to talk about Survivor with people.
So and you're new to all of this, so we're learning about you as well. So,
you could never talk too much. It's perfectly fine. Okay. It is a podcast, so we need talking. But this week's episode. I'll try not to read every single note verbatim. But I forgot so much last week that I did take some notes this time.
Yeah.
So we start at the David tribe. And of course, there's the fallout because a certain group on the David tribe had thought they were going to be voting out. Who did they think they were going to? See, I didn't write that down. And now I can't remember. They thought they were going to be voting out.
Lyrsa.
Right. And
the one with the blue hair.
Yeah. The lesbian. And so Davey and Carl and Bi were feeling blindsided, and everyone was pretty much pointing fingers at Gabby. Mm-hmm. And there's even all these Nick, who is kind of, he and Christian have formed this
Mason Dixon
sort of alliance thing, right? And but I feel like Christian has some sort of alliance with Gabby as well, because they seem to be flirting with each other, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think they even mentioned that they wanted to work together in one of the first two episodes. But Nick is actually pointing fingers at Gabby as well. When he's talking to Davey and he's talking to Bi, they were fishing. There was a scene of them like on a boat or on a little raft thing. Now, I don't know who it was. Somebody was actually in the water, like diving around fishing, and they showed a shot of that, but I didn't know who it was. So anyway, everything's going to Gabby. So any thoughts on, you know, and Fatty, I'm losing my words tonight.
That's all right.
For your benefit, Carl cried, and he's the truck driver. And he cried and said that he felt like Jen was his, like a daughter to him.
Ugh.
And you see that scene of him crying that he didn't know she, you know, she was like his daughter and he didn't want her to go.
Muted, Evan.
And,
you've muted yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
That's,
do you hate when they cry?
I just,
Fatty hates emotion.
Okay. That's just, it's just like, really?
Well, and then they play the piano and like it gets really quiet and it's like a somber moment. Yeah, they phone it in a little much with that.
So right. what are our thoughts? We'll go to Evan first. So your thoughts on kind of, I don't know, the state of the David tribe. Like, do you think just overall thoughts? But do you think that Nick and Christian and Gabby are kind of going to have a thing, or that Nick is going to try to drive a wedge between Christian and Gabby? Like, what are your feelings there?
Yeah, I think the David tribe is interesting because I think they all think they're better players than they really are. And I think that Christian definitely is on several sides of the fence. And so I think when they came back and when I think you said Alex was the one that kind of pushed Gabby under the bus a little bit. That's what you have to do, because if people are pissed, like you don't want to be the one because you don't want to be like, oh, yeah, that was my idea. I'm the one that ruined everything. I think right. They're smart to pick somebody. And I think she's a bit of a hysterical player. If you remember that episode where they, right before they voted, like she sat down, she's like, it's me. Like, and she was like panicking because Christian wasn't talking to her or something. And she's very paranoid. But I think you always have to plan one step ahead. So I think that the David tribe itself is really wrapped around Christian. Like, that's what we're seeing. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see when they do lose again. If there are conflicting interests to get somebody out, he's going to be a swing vote of something, and either he's going to get busted for it and they're going to all turn on him, or they're going to piss one of the two of them off.
Now, Evan, you watch Big Brother also, right?
I just started watching this season.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of terminology in Big Brother, like showmance and alliances and all this kind of stuff that I think are seeping in to Survivor, which I don't remember those I think of those as Big Brother terms, not Survivor terms.
Showmance has never been discussed on Survivor until this season. That's a very good point. Yeah. They've said alliances has always been a thing. Sometimes they call them like voting blocks. They had trust clusters. They always try to come up with like terms that, and as soon as Jeff Probst, whenever he hears like something like that, he just loves it, and you know that gets shoved in your face.
Well, even if there was an alliance, they didn't name them.
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah, you had people like Philip Shepherd, who was like the Self R Us alliance, and it was always like kind of a joke. It was never. This is the first time it's been really pushed.
Right, and it's has a little bit of Big Brother. It's rubbing onto Survivor. So.
Definitely.
Anyway, all right. And if I hear one of them say, I don't want to get blood on my hands, you know, then I will definitely. Ugh.
So, Fatty, what are your thoughts on current state and, you know, what's going on there?
Well, poor David. I mean, so many of the challenges are physical. And yeah, there's usually a puzzle involved, and I'm sure that the producers see the puzzle as the
equalizer.
The equalizer.
Well, now, don't forget, I mean, not to get ahead of myself here, but don't forget we had, the second win of the David tribe in this episode, and it came down to the puzzle. So, I mean, the first episode, they won basically because of the puzzle. And then this last episode, they won. They were pretty much neck and neck, or they were behind on the physical part of the challenge. But when they got up to the puzzle, you know, that gave them a little bit of a...
But the thing is, it doesn't start with the puzzle, okay? If it started with the puzzle, then I think David would have a much bigger advantage. You know, everything ends with the puzzle. So you've got to do all the physical stuff before you can even get there. So David is always going to be behind. If you ask me, you know, it's like if it started with the puzzle and you have to think outside the box. You'd have to do some sort of physical thing later. I think it would be very different outcomes. Evan?
That's interesting. Yeah, I've never thought about it in terms of like what would happen if the challenge started with a puzzle and then like it ended on a physical bit. It's the people on the Goliath tribe are obviously just objectively like bigger. But mm-hmm. like we said, like the first challenge was won by Alyrsa, who was like they were trying to say was the like weakest person. So I think it just comes down to like the mental and physical state, if they're in pressure, if they're, you know, Survivor is an equal opportunity butt kicker. And we've seen so many like professional athletes or people who go on the show who just sucked. Like think of how the first person voted off of a recent season was an Olympic gold medalist. Yeah. Like it really doesn't, the challenges are important, but it's more so for me, it's how do you regroup once you lose, I guess. So
I agree.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway, I would like to see a challenge start with the puzzle and end.
That would be very interesting. Yeah.
Now I think, not about contest specifically, but I was going to say, just remembered about Nick and Christian. I think that little alliance that they have right now could serve them well if Gabby doesn't get in the way, because I feel like Nick and Christian are kind of both in the middle between two different sides, like the side that was blindsided last week, you know, the three or four people who felt blindsided and the other ones that kind of, you know, all wanted to vote out Jen. Nick and Christian are kind of in the middle, I feel like.
Nick's days are numbered. It's like you said, Evan, he thinks he's a much better player than he really is. I think he's just,
I mean, I think it could be a good thing if they played it right. I'm not saying he's playing well. I'm saying, I think they are both in swing vote positions at the moment come next tribal. And I think that, you know, they could use that to their advantage. Now, I don't know. I mean, I don't know future of Nick, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It'll be curious to see what happens to them both, because as we've seen in the preview for this week's episode, they swap.
Drop
tribes,
your buffs, right?
Which, why are you going to make a whole, if you're going to have a story like David and Goliath, keep them. Early tribe swaps drive me nuts, but it'll be curious to see where these like players like them, if they end up on the same side, it'll be great for them. If they're on their own, their power is just completely turned on its head. And so something like that could totally screw one of them, or it could be to their advantage. You just never know.
Well, that's true. That's true. So what else happened in this episode?
All right.
Wait a minute. Before we go any further.
Yes.
Y'all, I'm watching Evan and he's going, you remember when I talked about how they have to dumb down the episode for people? He's looking at Adam and I like, oh, these two, they've had to dumb it down for him.
I'm just kidding. I didn't get that at all.
It's one of those things where I fully acknowledge that like I'm crazy and like I just know so much about the show, so I have to reel it back. So that was
I'm just kidding.
That was all fatty. Anyway, so we switch over to the Goliath tribe. And so, you know, we have some, oh, we're all really happy. We're catching fish. There's a little shot of them having some race with crabs or something. You know, on a side note, I got a gift from my grandma one time for Christmas. One of those.
You got the crabs from your grandmother?
Well, yeah, exactly. Oh, they had back in the day, I don't know how long ago this was. This was probably like when I was in my
before
early
Evan
20s.
Was born.
Yeah, okay. Probably before Evan was born. And they had this thing where they would sell sand crabs in the mall, and they would sell little plastic terrariums, you know, or whatever. And yeah. I was in college. But anyway, it was several malls. It wasn't just like one mall that I went to, but there was like a thing and kids all, you know, and I wanted a crab. So I was like, oh yeah, this is kind of cool. So I put it on my shelf in my dorm when I was in college. And I'm surprised I'm able to keep dogs alive, to be honest. I just forget about feeding and things of that nature. And when you have a crab, they don't bark or like, you know, do any, you know, they're just up there. I forgot to give this crab food or water. I don't even know for how long. It was probably a month. And I'm like, oh shit, I forgot to give him. I'm like, oh shit, I forgot to feed and water, whatever I named him, Crabby or something. And I pulled him off the shelf.
See, Evan, all of a sudden, I'm right. Huh?
He
named the crab Crabby.
No, I don't know. I don't know what I named him. Anyway, he was so dead that he had already dried out. Like he was like, he had gone through the whole crab decomposition process and he was like this exoskeleton. That was all that was left of this poor crab I don't know. How do you forget to feed and what? But I was going through a lot at that point in my life.
You were in college.
So, yeah. I mean, well, I was going through the whole, you know, being guilty about being gay and like first time
all
at
right.
college.
Well, since you brought gay up. One of the things that I've written down on my list is, do you think Jeremy was gay?
Jeremy is gay, yes.
I think so, yeah.
No, he's a confirmed card-carrying homosexual, yeah.
Okay, so...
I don't know about these cards you talk about. I don't have a card, so...
You didn't get yours, your coming out party?
Maybe mine got lost in the mail.
Right, anyway, he did everything but say, now, girl, let me tell you this. You know, he was...
Yeah,
he was quite flamboyant at tribal council.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, even before that,
Evan, you said there are how many gay people on this season?
There are at least three that are out or like openly gay. Yeah.
And they are?
Jeremy, Lyrsa, who is on the David tribe. And then Mike, who's Ned Schneebly, the older guy who was like a film producer. He's on School of Rock.
That was on Amazing Race.
Yeah, he's apparently bisexual.
Oh. So he likes men and boys.
Yeah, you know. I feel like bisexual is convenient, but anyway,
showbiz. But yeah.
Okay. So back to what was happening. So, they're all in a good mood and yada yada yada, and so John, again, I think in episode one or two, John. Well, first of all, I want to talk about the crotch shots. John, the wrestler, is wearing these little tight gray boxer briefs or whatever. And I noticed on the last episode several nice right up in between the leg shots. And there's one where he's standing one way and the camera, it's a side shot. And you actually see like, you know, outline of bulge. Anyway, I'm too much of a bulge watcher, but well, there you go.
There's one gay intern at the editing department there that is just like giving you everything you need. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not accidental.
I'm a pervy starer. I stare at guys that I think are attractive or body parts that I think are attractive. We were talking about this on the Big Brother show that we do. I play trumpet and I was in a musical recently and I apparently was staring at one of the actors and I didn't realize it. Like, it's just one of those things. I just go boom and kind of stare. And anyway, he was staring back at me. So it all worked out. I mean, it didn't work out at all because I have a boyfriend, but I mean, it was fine. So I stare. So I noticed crotch shots, but John was talking about Natalie again and saying, you know, he thinks she's probably going to be on the chopping block, but he would really like to work with her. He thinks that would be like no one would think that would be a thing. And, you know, so they make a point. And maybe that was the same shot that they used in episode two or one, but he said it again in this most recent episode. And then we have a big thing with Jeremy and Mike where they're walking on the beach fishing. And that's where Jeremy tells Mike about his dad with Alzheimer's. And Mike's like, you know, this Jeremy might be somebody that I would want to work with, but I don't know. I feel like he kind of is being a little bit too paranoid and doing too much gameplay too early. And I think he might be a target. So I don't know if I want to hitch myself to him. You see this whole thing with Mike. And, anyway, so you see that, and so they're basically setting it up. You know, you have the Natalie and the Jeremy thing, right? So now we've got people saying, oh, we don't know. Jeremy's playing too hard right now. And then you've got, you know, the Natalie thing, which was already a thing. So they're already kind of setting you up to think, huh, who's going to go home, you know, if they lose the competition? So any thoughts on that?
For me, my thoughts on that are, yeah, so this is like the parts of the episode where like, okay, we're getting backstory of Jeremy. So clearly he's either going to go home or he's going to be a big contender that like in this coming vote or whatever. But it's interesting because for me, Jeremy said the most profound thing as a Survivor contestant to me last episode when he was talking about Natalie. He was like, she's been married 25 years and someone loves her for her. She's never going to change. Like, that's the kind of, when he was talking about Natalie, that's the kind of like awareness that you need as a player to be rational and like deal with like the panic. And then, so I thought that he was like a lot more level headed. And then this episode, the key just comes unraveled. And apparently the behind the scenes scoop is that it was actually Angelina that like is kind of trying to push him out. And like, they had some like off camera dispute, but there's no way to push that. So when they were showing the Natalie and Jeremy bit, it made sense. And like, they were setting up this like big showdown. But I was surprised how quickly I saw Jeremy unravel. And then in him unraveling, you see Mike kind of like, this guy's a little crazy. I really like him, but like not good to be associated with him. And then Natalie just kind of steamrolls him.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, and they have, so later on they have, more of that confrontation between Natalie and Jeremy.
But yeah, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you didn't. Leads right into what I was going to say. So they, then there's the whole, Jeremy calls the meeting. They have this shots where they're showing Jeremy sitting there suspiciously looking around, he's kind of looking, and then they show a pair of I don't remember who exactly was talking to each other, but they show one pair of, talking. And then they show Jeremy's face again, and he's looking all suspicious. And then they go to another shot, and it's another two players who are kind of walking together. And then you see he's called a meeting, and he's telling everyone, hey, guys, it's way too early for us to be having side conversations. We're going to have a merge, and we need to stay Goliath strong. And it looks really suspicious for all you folks to be, walking off in pairs. And then you get shots of like John and what's her name? I can't remember who he was talking to, but John was talking to somebody, and they're like, what was up with Jeremy? And then, somebody else, they were having a conversation. What was up with Jeremy? That's so paranoid. Like, what's he doing? And they're, again, setting it up, that he's all paranoid and everything. And then I think it was actually Angelina who was talking to everyone about wanting to blindside him or whatever later on in the episode. So fatty thoughts, because you haven't talked about all of this.
Anytime you call a group meeting, it's here, let me paint this target on me.
Literally.
I just, it's just, that's
like, are you getting blood on your hands when you call it?
Well, it's like, it's like if you go on The Amazing Race and you're afraid of heights, guess what? You're going to have to jump. You're going to have to climb something high, or you're going to have to jump off of something very high. And people that go on Amazing Race and can't swim, it's like, why would you go on Survivor and you can't swim? You don't call a group meeting. It's just one of the Ten Commandments, if you will.
There was somebody last season who couldn't swim, right? Or was not a good swimmer.
Yeah, you don't have to be a good athlete to play Survivor, but it's like the whole thing. And it's the same with Big Brother. It's like in the beginning, the last thing you want to do is stand out. You need to just calling a meeting. Like if I'm a player, and again, I watch the show and I think of it as like, what would I do if I was a contestant? The second Jeremy calls a meeting, I'm like, all right, he's crazy. Like what's up with him? He's paranoid, because any heat that might be on me, it's like, no, this guy's nuts. Like, who is he to like think that, like, he's pretty much just saying, don't play the game because I'm paranoid. Just the second you have any reason to like highlight or make yourself stand out that early on, day 7 or 8, fucking, I am Sandra Bullock, and I'm on that bus speeding right over you, and I'm not pulling over, like whatever it takes. Cause like it's so early, like it has to be anybody but you. So he was an idiot for doing that. And like, he tried to, kind of snip it now. He's like, oh, I thought you'd seen Survivor. Clearly you haven't. It's like, bitch, you didn't. You clearly haven't either, because you would know. You never call a meeting in the beginning, and like, that just doesn't go well. You never want to highlight yourself. So yeah, he really just came unraveled, and that was frustrating. But Again, if I'm anyone but him, I'm like, oh, thank God, it's not going
to
be me. You know,
I think right. The best way to play any of these games is, well, Big Brother or Survivor specifically, is to stay in the background, like you said, pull strings, but no one know that it's that you're the one that's doing it.
Exactly. You put them on. You put the idea in their head, but you're never the one to throw the name out. It's like, oh, what do you think of so and so? Oh, that's how you feel. Oh, interesting. Well, what would you, you know, you have to play emotionally like intelligent. And I just think he was probably tired and panicked.
Yeah. My favorite Big Brother winner, who I can't think of his name right now, but Derek, which you don't watch Big Brother, but my favorite Big Brother winner was that way. Just very, nobody ever knew that he was the one pulling the strings. And
that's
so,
what you got to do.
So the competition, so we get to immunity challenge. And I don't know if they always do this, but I did notice this season that, and maybe they always do this and I've slept and I don't realize what's going on, but they actually have the immunity challenge and the reward challenge are the same challenge.
A lot of times they do them as separate challenges, right? In the beginning, there's so many people. They don't really have time to do two different challenges. You know, it's like Big Brother, when you get to the end and there's nobody there, there are less people to talk to. There are less confessionals, if you will, to film. You've got more time to do two separate things.
Yeah. It's also a production. I mean, it's a production decision because they save money by not having to do two challenges, but it's more important in the beginning to spend more time investing in the characters, because at Survivor, when it first started, you know, when it was super, super popular, it was all about the struggle and the challenges, and like people like Colby Donaldson were like the stars because they were athletes. Like that's what you wanted to watch. Mm-hmm. Now we've seen it for 18 years. It's more important that they show these players as people. And then they just throw these challenges in. So I think sometimes it's better to like scoop it all into one 10-minute chunk instead of having, you know, two crappy challenges. Because especially with the rewards, like, oh, you know, they got a chair. Cool. For what? You know, it's like, what does that really do for the story itself versus, you know, it matters to the players, but not so much the viewers.
Speaking of that, Evan, what did you think of the thing where Jeff sent dry wood and a tarp and all that kind of stuff over to both camps? That's very unusual.
Yes, it's very unusual. And that is also, again, a production thing. Did you guys watch Second Chance? Survivor Second Chance Cambodia?
Yes. I've seen them, but I saw it.
It was the season that Jeremy won. They were in Cambodia and it rained for like 2 weeks straight. And what happened in that season, they actually built them a shelter, because when it's that miserable, they're just sitting in these huts and they're not playing the game and they're not getting content. They're not. And so Jeff sending them wood and fire and all that stuff was because it's so early. You guys are so miserable. But at the end of the day, like if you're sitting in the hut whining and talking about like how miserable you are, we can't make a 40-minute show out of that. And so that was completely them. And apparently it was like a terrible like cyclone that people died from. It was a serious storm. But it was completely, you know, if this was season four, they would have just honed in on how miserable these people are, but they needed them to get out and to have a brain to give them something to show.
Right. Exactly. But I thought it was a good thing that they did that.
So. Oh yeah. 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 And a show that really likes to hone in on how real it is. Like that's a testament to how bad it was. If they're willing to bend.
It's kind of like the season where they came in and took them away because there was a hurricane coming or something like that. Or
Millennials Gen X, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, was that which one it was? Okay. Yeah,
they took them away and they made them sleep on a concrete floor in like a hut and they weren't allowed to speak.
Oh, okay.
Which sounds worse than being in the rain, but that's a different story.
Anyway, yeah.
So the competition. We want to go back to that. So it was speaking of rain and hurricanes, as Fatty just said, it was raining super hard during the competition, and you know,
special effects.
Gabby couldn't see. I mean, she was like squinting, and the rain was coming down. And anyway, so the competition was another obstacle. This was the one with they have a rope that's connected to them, And they have to, I don't know, they had to move through this obstacle. And then I think one person did that. And then there was a, they had to unbraid, three people had ropes attached and they had to unbraid it. So they had to step over each other and stuff. And then they have to go over this pole thing. And then, you know, so they do all that. They maneuver all these obstacles. And then when they're done, the second team can go through. They throw a rope with a ring on it at this hook that's attached to a sled kind of thing. And they have to pull the sled back and it's got a puzzle.
They're always pulling something.
Yeah. So they do that. And then and they pull that back and then they send in the puzzle team, you know, or the puzzlers who are going to do the puzzle. And this one was a pyramid looking thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the interesting thing about this one was that there's a conversation between, I'm going to say, Angelina and I don't know who the other, but there was a conversation where Natalie says, hey, I want to do this challenge because I'm going to be good at puzzles. And then Angelina is talking to Natalia, I believe. And they're like, oh, well, Natalia wanted to do it because she's good at puzzles, but whatever, we'll let Natalie do it. You know, fine. Mm-hmm. And then so they go through the whole thing and, you know,
Natalie wasn't good at puzzles.
Yeah. And then they go through the whole thing. And then, of course, they have and Goliath is a little bit ahead the whole physical part. Not much, actually, but they were a little bit ahead. And then when it got to the puzzle, Natalie and whoever, I can't remember who she was with, but the person she was with, they were having a heck of a time figuring out the puzzle. And then they had Christian and Gabby again doing the puzzle.
Squad
on this one.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah. And they won. They got it. And then they won. And of course, then later, this all gets brought back up that, oh, Natalie, you know, wanted to do the puzzle and then she lost. You know, I think on Survivor, you never say, I'm good at this. Let me do it.
Never. You never volunteer to be the puzzle person. You never anchor anything. No, that's why Sandra Diaz has won twice, because she's like, I'm not doing that. It's not good for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, idiots.
So, yeah. So they they do that. And David wins, or the David tribe wins.
The Davids win and they get some cushions and blankets and pillows and a chair or something like that or whatever, which early on in the game is super exciting for them.
Yeah, that's huge. Like instead of having maybe a 30-minute night sleep, they might get an hour now. And the interesting thing about those, they've always mentioned that those kind of rewards are important in the beginning of the season, because like if you think of it, there's only two chairs or there's like four pillows and eight tridmates, and so like it adds this dynamic that like it gives people something to bicker over, and so it's little things that you don't always think about, but like they know exactly what they're doing by giving them like a certain number of chairs, because someone's not going to sleep on that chair. It's going to piss somebody off. And that starts a whole thing.
Right. He's in that chair all the time. Like he owns it.
Yeah. Oh, did you sleep well? Oh, great. Well, yeah, it's just, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, remember last season, there was a guy who, and I'm just bad with names in general, so unless I have a list in front of me, I'm horrible. But there was the guy who they said was eating all the rice, and it was a big deal for two or three episodes that he was. And he's kind of a muscular guy, and I guess used to eating very often. And so it's kind of that same thing. It's like, oh, he's hogging all the food. Oh, he's, you know, he's using the pillows all the time, or, you know, whatever. So it's similar.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like when you live with somebody, you annoy each other. So I'm like, when you spend every single day with these people, like anything can like, you know, stir a pot a bit. So stuff like that. And it's fun. It's always funny when you watch Survivor, you're like, are these adults really bitching about sugar right now? But it's like, that's their reality. And like, that's all they have. So sugar is $3 million.
Evan, tell us one thing that your husband does that annoys you.
Oh, what does he do? Oh, God.
Well, he's not, you know, he has, he's a savant with Survivor, but he can't.
Well,
what's his name again? Okay.
Who? Well, I'm so bad with names. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
What is he? He's probably like sitting right next to him right now.
No, I actually just, you know, we were together all day today. He, you know, what drives me nuts about him is that he he's very black and white, and he's so specific, and I'm just like a big old mess. I don't care. And so like there's no gray area. And so it's all very objective. So that drives me nuts sometimes.
Okay.
That's I'll tell you what annoys me about Mark. He doesn't make any decisions. I have to make every single decision in the relationship. Oh, while we're eating, where we're going, like everything. Anyway.
Did you hear that, Mark?
Yeah, Mark. You hear that? He's downstairs. All right. Anyway, so we have
Let's
the competition.
Move it along.
Yeah, moving right along. So then we have, we already talked about a little bit of this stuff, but we go back to the Goliath tribe, and Natalie's trying to work the crowd, you know, and everything. And she's walking around campaigning to everybody because she knows that she's one of the ones, you know, potentially going home. And she wants to go up and talk. Well, first of all, she talks to Jeremy. And sure, this is fine. But I just think, so she goes up to him and calls him her black brother. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. For some reason, that irritated me. I mean, because, you know, trying to like pull some race strings. Oh, we're both black. You should keep me, you know.
By the way,
know.
Y'all, Evan has started taking his clothes off.
So hot in my apartment. I'm sorry.
That's fine. All right. Fatty has no problem with that. So so she does that. That kind of annoyed me a little bit. But he says, no one likes your personality, girl. And, you know, whatever. He's like, it is going to be hard for you to convince anyone not to vote you off, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then there's another scene where she's still doing her walking around thing. And Jeremy is over with Kara and some other folks. And Natalie wants to talk to them, but she doesn't want Jeremy to be there. And so she's like, hey, Jeremy, could you give me a moment with Kara? And he's just like, oh, why do you want to talk to them alone? Why don't you want me? I don't need you throwing out my name. I'm not going anywhere, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
And she wasn't even going to, but he did it himself. Yeah.
No, she wasn't throwing out his name at all. And he did that. And then, you know, they have a little flare up or whatever, and another little confrontation because of that. And then you see that Angelina is walking around floating the idea to, she's like, hey guys, you know, Jeremy's really been sketchy recently. You know, he's been so suspicious and called that meeting and yada yada. And she's like, you know what? We can vote Natalie out next. Yeah. She's like, if we go to merge and Jeremy's still here, he's going to be much more likely to be bad mouthing some of us and like stuff like that. She's like, we need to get rid of him now.
Yeah.
And
now,
so
the thing that gets me is Natalie is playing I'm the oldest person on this tribe card, you know, and I don't know if is that good or bad.
It's the card that she's got. And I'm surprised. I mean, I think she has terrible self-awareness, and like she objectively like is really screwing herself by, because if she knew she was the oldest person, then she should know to not be so bossy and to not really, you know, she's setting herself up to like to be the othered by the rest of them. But I think she's probably trying to use it as, just like Angelina said, she was like, we can get rid of her later. She's not a threat. She's the old person. And in this situation, it worked for her. But I don't know. I think she's going to surprise us. I would not be shocked if she goes very far for that reason alone.
She could, but I think, I don't know. I think if she makes it, let's say she made it to the end, and you know, it's hard to know on episode 3, day 7 or whatever, what's going to happen. But if she continued to play the way she's playing now, not winning competitions, being bossy, you know, kind of sitting over to the side and not doing the work, but telling people,
yeah,
I don't think that's going to get her a win for sure.
No, but she, you know? I mean, if I'm a player, I would want her very close to me because I can at least know what I'm expecting with her. And I know I'm going to beat her if she's in the end with me.
True. Any thoughts on any of that, Fatty, before we move on to tribal?
Let's go to tribal.
Okay, let's go to tribal.
Evan, was there anything else you wanted to say?
No, I think I'm good for now.
Okay.
So tribal. So this was their first tribal of the season. Goliath team. That's their first tribal this season. And Jeff does the thing that I was talking about before, where he calls on just the right people, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, if it was 4 hours, and he may have called on every single one of them, and then they edited it. So, you know, fine. The editors edited right to the people we cared about. And so Natalie is talking at the, Jeremy is talking at the beginning, and he immediately throws out Natalie's name, saying nobody gets along with her, yada, yada, you know, and stuff like
that. She says, no one's going to your funeral, but they would come to mine. Like, yeah, that's a little intense, buddy. Jeez.
Yeah, he was mean. He was not nice. And she agrees. So she's very level-headed. Natalie is very level-headed at Tribal because she says, you know what? You're right. I don't have the best social game. She said, I don't remember her exact words, but she basically says something along the lines of, I think I would be better for someone to carry along than Jeremy. You know, that I think that we should get rid of him. I believe she even says, I will be super loyal to the Goliath tribe when merge happens. You guys should really keep me. I believe she says something along those lines.
By the way, let me just interrupt here a second. Evan, your boyfriend, Dan, is in the chat room now.
Oh.
Hi. Wait, how do you know it's him?
Also, he says, Evan, they says, who's on with Adam and Fatty? And he says, Evan Ayers, my boyfriend.
Well, that could be Joe.
What's the screen name?
Dan Morton.
If it was really him, it would be Elaine Stritch.
Oh, okay. So then maybe it's Joe Batanza.
It's probably Joe Batanza. Or I'm being catfished. Who knows? But hi, whoever you are.
Hi, Joe.
Joe likes to go into the chat room and pretend to be other people. So
yeah. I have such crazy ADD that like if I have the chat room up while we do this, like I can't focus. So
that's all right. It's just me and Dan and Amib.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so we have that, and then I'm off my notes page because I went over to the chat room. So then you know, basically they have that back and forth, and there's not much else.
Oh no, there is something
else. What else? Tell me, because I didn't write it down.
The best line of the entire tribal council is by Natalie when she gives right before the vote her last remark to Jeremy is, "But your skin is gorgeous, darling."
Oh yeah, I was gonna, but that happens during the vote.
Oh
yeah, that happened during the vote. That happened.
Okay. Yeah, she does it while she's like putting the vote in the urn, and she's like, by the way, boo, bitch. Yeah, I thought brilliant.
Okay.
Yeah, she's like, whatever she said, you got to go or bye, bitch, or something like that. Yeah. And then she's like, but your skin is gorgeous. Yeah, yeah. So then they have the vote, and Jeff, you know, you knew it was unanimous other than Jeremy's vote, because I mean, it's just like he didn't read, he never does anyway, but he stacked them up, and it was like the first vote I believe was Natalie, and then it was Jeremy. Anyway, so then Jeremy gets voted out, and I believe he's a little bit surprised, he's shocked a little bit by that. I mean, he knows he's one of them, but he looks like, oh man, I thought we were sending home Natalie. And he doesn't really say bye to anyone. He just kind of walks off and does his thing. And that's where the episode ended. And then we, you know, at the end, we see that
time on Survivor,
well, you know, at the end, they always show who voted for who.
Right.
And that's where we saw, you know, Jeremy voted for Natalie, and then everybody else voted Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we saw the, your skin is gorgeous from Natalie as well. So, final thoughts, Evan, on the episode.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say this first. Like, this is such a nerd thing, but this tribal council set is incredible. Like, they spent so much money on this, and it's so cool to see. I really appreciate that. Like, the production value of the show is second to none in my mind. And so I get sucked into it. So I really appreciate that about this season. I also I'm really particular about the snuffers, which is weird. Like, this season has like a cool snuffer, which makes me happy.
Do they ever or normally have a roof? Because for some reason I feel like there's a roof sometimes, but maybe I just have that in my mind because there's obviously no roof on this one.
Yeah, sometimes they have roofs and sometimes they don't. I think it just depends where they're filming it. I think I know for a fact that like when they have a roof, it's obviously better for like production because they can like get more cameras in there. But what tends to happen is when they do these those aerial shots, they for every contestant, I'm going to go on a tangent. For every contestant, they have there's a hired like body double. And so when you're seeing these like aerial shots of like challenges or of beaches or of tribal, it's not the actual people itself. It's like their body double. So even though there isn't a roof, like, you know, you get these overhead sights of it, but that's something that they've done post-production. And so there's probably, I would not be surprised if they cover it or if there's like a million cameras over it. So they may, it may be covered. I don't know, but.
Well, they were soaking wet.
Yeah, then it was raining and like they were soaked. So maybe there's not.
Yeah, there was clearly rain coming down and getting them wet. So.
Well, yeah. Unless they had sprinklers in the roof. Let me ask you this, Evan. Do you ever sketch out the tribal council area so that, oh, well, over here is where they vote and here's where they're sitting. This is Jeff and this must be where the cameras are for this and this.
Yeah, I kind of do. I'm always like, what a bitch. They make them walk upstairs to go vote. Like, that's rude. Or like, you know, I think of dumb stuff like that. But they used to always like show tours of like the set beforehand, like when it was more popular. And I always enjoyed those. Yeah. But yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So were you happy with Jeremy getting voted out?
Yes, I was. I was because he did it to himself. I mean, the second he called that meeting, the second he started to go paranoid, and the second that he had just kind of like as I mentioned, Angelina like had it out for him and like he kind of knew it was coming, which is why I think he was being dramatic. I think you can always tell when someone is like knows they're going out because they try to be extra, you know, snarky or like they'll say anything to just like make a moment. And you could tell he was like, F it, like I'm out. Like I'm just gonna do nothing I do or say is gonna matter. So I'm just gonna be crazy, which is kind of frustrating, I'm sure. But I was happy with the Natalie outcome just because I think I like when players surprise me, and I didn't think that she had the actual like ability to take herself and actually spin it against him. I thought that she was just so stubborn that there was no way she would pull this off. So as a viewer, I thought it was a really great episode. It sucks to, you know, for him to go, but I think the story was well arced.
And I thought, and maybe it's the edit again, but I thought it was impressive that Natalie kept her mouth shut and just let him hang himself.
Oh yeah, no, completely. And that's what you have to do. You just have to you're your worst enemy. And that she was able to just sit there and let him self-destruct. That's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel like when you say things like, you know what, hey guys, think about who would be better to take with you. You know, who's going to be more, you know, maybe I'm not the best player, but I think sometimes that works well.
Yeah, completely.
Because a lot of times people will think, you know what, she's like you said, Evan, she's never going to win sitting next to me, mm-hmm. or I can get rid of her next week. But this is a loose cannon over here. You know, I got to get rid of him.
Early,
so.
It's too early to be crazy. It's too early to be calling meetings. It's too early to be screaming at people. Like that's how you make it to the merge. You let the crazies kind of out themselves.
All right. Let me ask you this. So we're dividing the tribes up, do you think they'll go to three tribes? They've thrown that in.
Oh, let's see. Well, now there's
the past
20. So there's three of left. I don't think they will do three because it's an odd number, or it's not like it wouldn't be even. But I want to know what they're going to name the tribes. You know, they're going to throw some like it's going to be tribe like Toyota and whatever the other sponsor is because they can't be the Davids if they're Davids and Goliaths.
Right.
Well, either way, it's going to be not even, right? Because they have 17 right now, one's going to have 8 and one's going to have 9.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do some like, you know, one person doesn't get picked and they go to exile or, you know, some random, you know, they always try to make some crazy deal with it. I'm not sure.
It does seem like it would make more sense to wait until it was an even number when you're going to do a merge. Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but like, you're going to have more, but the only thing that affects is like the competitions, which they just make someone sit out.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. So, All right. Well, I think that does it for this one. Any closing thoughts, Evan?
Closing thoughts? No, I'm super excited about this season. I think so far it's been interesting. I mean, I care as a viewer, and I think I hope that the story kind of does fade, so people like Alex Lefebvre like actually maybe will be able to watch it, because it, you know, it can be a force. I think
they're it's absolutely going to fade because they're splitting the tribes up.
Yeah, and you know they'll do it'll when it towards the end when it's like in the finals and it's like, you know, there's two Davids something left, they'll throw that in there. But it'll be fun to just watch people play the game now and not really have to everything be, oh well, that's what a David would do, you know, you're an underdog, so let's, you know, it'll be good to have like the narrative be like free of that a little bit. So I'm optimistic. I think if I had to guess who goes next, I am going to, I would say if it's a David that goes home, I actually do think that Alex will be out, just because I think he's going to get caught in something. It'll be him, or it's going to be, I think B will be evacuated, the girl who hurt her knee.
Now, is that Alex or Nick? I thought his name was Nick that we were talking about.
Alec is the hot one from LA, the bartender.
Right. So he's not on David. So he's on Goliath. So
yeah, yeah.
So Nick, it's Nick.
Yeah. I think Nick is the one that,
Nick's like, the one that's like befriended Christian.
Yeah, Mason Dixon guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mason Dixon. Yeah, I think his days are numbered.
Yeah.
So, Fatty, what about you? Anything else?
I have one last question of Evan. Oh, okay. Do you watch the show just once, or how many times do you watch each episode?
I watch the episode typically once. I'll watch like clips again, like on YouTube, or I'll watch the tribal or the challenge again if I can't. I'm a big like TV sleeper person, so maybe I'll put it on like at night just like to relax. But it used to be like several times I'd watch it over and over. But if it's a good episode, I'll give it another watch. But I haven't seen it since Wednesday.
Okay. Well, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel like I've been able to just like spew all of my thoughts that I can't share with anyone else in the world.
But have you spewed all of your thoughts though, Evan?
You know, I always have thoughts. But but about Survivor and about this episode, I feel like I'm cleared. This has been so great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thanks for joining
us. Well, you came highly recommended. Wow. And I would agree that you are indeed a Survivor savant. Yeah. Is there a Survivor app?
I don't think so. Okay. There were video games, but I don't think there's an app.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, if you're listening in right now, we do have a feed. You can join us on Sunday nights over at pride48.com. You can subscribe to us now in iTunes if you look for Survivors Ready podcast. And you can also subscribe on the website, which is survivorsreadypodcast.com. So we will see you next week. Thanks for joining us. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.